1:3-5. The sermon text this evening is found in the first three verses of Isaiah chapter 53. And let me just read the first verse at this time. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We live in a world that is full of advertisements. People are commercially driven, and so they are exposed to enticing advertisements. Those who make advertisements try to entice people by showing all the many benefits of their products that they hope to sell. In this process, the sellers would make their products as much attractive, charming, and valuable and useful as possible. Furthermore, they try to minimize any negative aspects of their products. Most of the time, they do not mention anything negative. Sometimes they make very attractive pictures regarding the products that they hope to sell, and they are very aware of the importance of how their products are viewed. This is because people who hear and see the advertisement will make a decision whether to buy the product or not. Today, we see a picture, but that's not at all about anything that we can buy. But it's a picture that requires your utmost attention. It is a remarkable picture that describes the Jehovah's servant. In this prophecy of Isaiah, we have something quite strange. Contrary to our human expectation, you would expect to hear of the servant's beauty and how everybody was rushing to believe and accept this servant. But this is not what we find in this prophecy. Based on our sermon text, Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 3, the theme tonight is unbelief's responses to Jehovah's servant. With the Lord's help, we'd like to consider 3 points. First, a response to his message as a prophet. Second, a response to his appearance as a man. Third, a response to his suffering as Messiah. First, verse 1 starts with an important question. Who hath believed our report? It seems that the prophet with other fellow Israelites must have heard something. What did they hear? First of all, the book of Isaiah is called the fifth gospel because this book shows the beauty and glory of Christ for sinners, almost in the same clarity of any gospel account that we find in the New Testament. God invites sinners through the prophecy of Isaiah in the first chapter already saying, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, They shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1:18. The book of Isaiah can be divided into two large sections. From chapter 1 to chapter 39, the first section aims to warn Israel people of the coming judgment through Assyrian invasion. The second section, from chapter 40 onward, aims to comfort God's people in exile. God's promise for the salvation of Israel. Here, the aim is the salvation, which we also aim to have as sinners. There, in the Old Testament, more than 2,700 some years ago, sinners needed salvation because they were sinners. Same way we are sinners. So, hence, Isaiah 53, the very gospel account of our Lord and Savior. How is this salvation possible? This salvation is possible through the servant of God, as the servant is described before the eyes of those people in the days of Isaiah. This servant was repeatedly described through different songs, the servant songs, in different chapters, Isaiah 42, 49, and 53, and Isaiah 50. Especially, we have the most exclusive description of what the righteous servant of Jehovah looked like in our sermon text today. His appearance will be so much disfigured that people would not think that he was a human being. Then again, verse 15 says that this servant will astonish many nations and kings through his work. What a glorious salvation through God's servant. The exalted servant had to become very low to save sinners. His visage had to be disfigured. He had to be stricken. He had to be bruised. He was bleeding. However, for the most part, this servant in the Old Testament is not believed. The question, who hath believed our report? Even though it is such an important question for every single one in this room has to answer, yet here it is rhetorical question. That means in this context, it is not meant to be answered. The question reveals the sad fact that very, very few believed when they heard about him and his salvation. Quoting the first verse of our text, the gospel according to John points out the very fact that people did not believe in Jesus Christ in spite of many miracles. On top of this scripture, Isaiah 53. The word that our Bible translates as our report could be better understood in the original language. It could be better translated as what we just heard. What we just heard. You and I heard more than once. Some people, I hope there might be newcomers, visitors here who never listened to the gospel preaching before. But to a large extent, many of us can honestly speaking say that we heard this message. As early as last Sunday, the gospel reached you in your life in such a way or in a way that you clearly know the place and the time. But do you believe what you just heard in your life? Just try to recall last year's Good Friday service. Something about the death of our Savior. Did you believe what you heard? The second half of the verse 1 says, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This is really saying the same thing, but there is hope for you here. It speaks of the Lord's arm. Man's arm is physical. It can do certain things, but it cannot do many, many things. But one of those many things, the arm of human being, is that it cannot change us. By physical force, by threat, we will never change ourselves. The Holy Spirit, which is symbolized by the arm of the Lord, must work so that we may have faith, so that we may be open to this servant described in our passage. It is so tragic. God's servant was not believed. This is the first response the unbelief shows about Jehovah's servant. They showed their response about what they heard. Brothers, sisters in the Lord, do you remember how you became a believer for the first time? Think about what made you become a believer. Did not you think that you are not that bad person? Did not think you that you could always find a person that is worse than who you were or who you are? Did you not doubt the idea that you must be dependent on God's sent servant? And did you not doubt that that was the only way to reach our God? Did you not doubt that there is such thing as sin to start with that brings about eternal judgment and damnation? You may have wished that there would be no such entity or reality as sin that causes us eternal damnation. God be praised because you are a believer today. Romans 10:16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Faith is the work of God's powerful arm. God gave us not only hearing, but also sight for our understanding. Yes, we see something every day. This leads to our second point, a response to his appearance as a man. Look at verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This verse is a very, very graphical description in terms of the outer appearance. It is not only people today who are so much concerned with the outer appearance, so were the ancient Israelites. Externally, this servant was not attractive to begin with. First, the servant is described as a tender plant or a shoot. Children among us, a tender plant does not have many green leaves. It does not have a strong trunk. It is not likely to have juicy fruits or lively birds around in a leafy, fruitful trees. Second, the servant is described as a root out of a dry ground. Have you ever seen such a root described here? It is not lively. There is not much to look at. It is not attractive. It does not draw people's attention. Third, in the second half of verse 2, there are three negatives given to describe what is not present in the servant. Oftentimes in the Hebrew scriptures, when something is repeated three times, it means perfection, whether in a positive sense or a negative sense. And here we have those three repeated senses. No form, no comeliness, no beauty. Therefore, there is nothing worth looking at, humanly speaking. Have you admired this servant in spite of his appearance as having no form, no comeliness, and no beauty? Or is this what you think of Jesus Christ yourself right now? Do you see any beauty in him? You have heard a lot about him, but there is nothing that appeals to your sight about him. This is unbelief's response about Jesus. Does this describe your response about Jesus' appearance? The Savior who walked on earth with human body. The Savior who moved in his town, looked at the sinners whom he was going to save carefully, lovingly, attentively. Jesus Christ, with his eyes, looked at those poor sinners those who are suffering greatly in their sins and struggles, they approach this Savior with only hope that they would get better. They may be healed, and Jesus would give his attention to these miserable sinners and show his pity on them, and he would be very merciful. The servant described here is already not believed and not admired. So far, the description seems to be a less neutral and objective. This leads to the last thing, that is a response to his suffering as Messiah. Based on hearing and seeing, the servant was greatly humiliated. The salvation by this servant does not sound right to unbelief. To it, he certainly does not look like an attractive servant to bring salvation at all. We make a judgment about all the advertisements that we look at and we hear about in our busy world. Many of them are not needed almost immediately, and we discard them into the garbage. Verse 3 says that he is despised and rejected of man. It is one thing to discard unnecessary items such as broken glasses and unusable papers, but it is another thing to abandon people in great need, such as sick people or people in dangerous situations. More than several years ago, in Canada, Prince Edward Island, a newborn baby was found dead at a bench next to the church graveyard. It is very hard to know how long the baby was left wrapped in a blanket until the baby would die. But somebody must have abandoned this baby at some point. There are so many sad situations regarding rejection and despising of people, including this abandoned baby at the graveyard with no information about the baby's parents. The servant also knows sorrows, all kinds of sorrows that we go through, and sufferings. Every kind of suffering this Savior had to put himself under. So he is called a man of sorrows. But here we are told that because he knows such sorrows and sufferings, people despised him. People discredited him. While God offered salvation through his servant, the Israelites discredited him and despised him. He certainly knew the sorrows and diseases that we human beings suffer from. That's why he didn't come in angel's body. He came in human body. Because of that, also people ignored him. Have you ever felt abandoned and despised? Or have you ever seen people abandoned and despised and betrayed terribly in your life or family ties? The failures and the sicknesses and various needy situations put them under extremely miserable feelings and sensations and then troubles. You don't want to be with them. lest you may feel like them. You don't want to feel rejected and despised. That's the last thing as a human being that you want to feel in this life. This servant did not just feel what it was. He was indeed despised, rejected, and forsaken. What do these descriptions of our unbelief mean to us? What are we missing today? He is not believed. He is not admired. He is not accepted. The doubtful descriptions about this servant have not changed much since the days of the prophet Isaiah around 740 BC. First, Jehovah's servant, Jesus Christ, for sinners are despised by many people, including some of us. But you and I are called to embrace this servant for sinners. We can be despised based on our weaknesses, our failures and illnesses. Being despised is a real threat to our being, not just a psychological perception. You know, the despising looks, the despising eyes of the people when you look into them. Being despised is such a horrible experience that we want to avoid as much as possible. We want to be rather accepted as one of them rather than to be despised and rejected based on whatever. Wherever you may go, you want people's trust. The statement, "I believe you," is one of the statements that many people who left their home country and came to this country for freedom or for other opportunities, they want to hear, "I believe you," in this very strange country for them. Jesus was born 2,000 years ago in a dirty stable in Bethlehem. He was negatively associated with his poor town, Nazareth. He was looked down on as an ignorant carpenter. He was despised by the Pharisees and other religious leaders because of Jesus' friendship with sinners. Peter, one of the closest people to Jesus in Jesus' inner circle, denied Jesus 3 times. Judas betrayed him and sold him in return for just 30 pieces of silver for money. Others abandoned him. When he was crucified upon the cross, people despised him, saying, "Save thyself, come down from the cross." Mark 14:30. "If thou art the Son of God, come down right now." "Why not?" they say. Others ridiculed his kingship, saying, "Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe." Mark 14:31b. But Jesus Christ was abandoned by all his followers and separated from God's presence to pay the price for our sins. Christ cried on that cross on that day at ninth hour to the Father, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Though David was speaking about his own situation in Psalm 22, he was speaking as a shadow and type of Jesus. He says, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Verse 6 of that psalm. Prophet Isaiah joins himself to this group of despisers in Israel so many years ago, saying he was despised and we esteemed him not. Isaiah 53 verse 3. See, are we not yet convicted? Will you despise him? Will you turn your face from his church, his people, Christians, especially his messengers of the gospel? He is a sinless Savior. Because of sinners, he suffered. He was despised that we may not be despised. Should we sinners, including you and me, not embrace this precious Jesus who was forsaken for sinners? There is no way for me to bring you tonight into that depth of his suffering on that day, in his forsaken state, God forsaken by God. Many of that remains to be mystery to us because simply we didn't get there. We haven't yet. We may not be able to reach that deep down of that being forsaken. But should we see something of this Savior's suffering for our sakes, and we should embrace him? Verse 4 says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Even though I cannot bring you to that depth of his being forsaken at this point, as a preacher of Christ and the gospel, I can confidently assure you, saying that no one will ever be able to love you as he did. Nobody can do what he did for you on that day by dying on that cross. Find out this most beautiful person, Son of Man and the Son of God, and spend everything that you have in your hands to know him, to find him, to love him, to receive him to your hearts and to your homes, to your communities, from now until everlasting. Yes, spend everything that you have to find this most precious person.
the righteous servant of God, Isaiah 53, the Savior, Jesus Christ. He is matchless, unparalleled, priceless Savior of your soul, the only one who has not treasured this servant of God. Yes, secondly, Jehovah's servant, Jesus Christ, for sinners are unattractive to the unconverted sinners. Yes, to their eyes. They may see all kinds of things, but they miss this most important person right here when we gather around his word. There is incredible beauty in him. Some time ago, I was introduced to a huge art piece in Grand Rapids here before we left for New Jersey as home missionary family. This piece is a 13 feet tall and 9 feet wide glass mosaic of crucified Christ that weighed more than 400 pounds. And this art piece won one of the prominent art competition prize, and the prize was as much as $250,000. But the person who made it completely failed to see what she was trying to describe, because I was told later that the author of this art piece was not a believer. Let alone she broke the second commandment. It's so sad. You are so close, humanly speaking, to see the beauty as a trained eye to find those beautiful angles and arts in nature and things that we see in natural realm. And she failed to see the beauty of the most beautiful person in human history. Dear congregation, have you seen this beauty of Christ by faith, not by sight? You and I are called to praise this servant for his indescribable beauty for sinners. No artist can ever be able to, can ever capture our Savior's beauty in its truest sense. That's why we hear the gospel again and again every time we gather in this building. We wish to see Jesus. Jesus has done the splendid and the majestic work for sinners such as we are. And on that last breath of our Savior, on that day on the cross, he said, "It is finished." John 19:30. One of the most important words in Greek. It is finished. All the works that we sinners could not have done, Jesus did by dying upon the cross. And we long to see him on that day when we reach the Emmanuel's land, and we want to embrace him as he is. Jesus Christ sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high when he had by himself purged our sins. The author of the Hebrews says, being made much better than the angels as he hath obtained by inheritance a more excellent name than they. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, but by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. How excellent and how beautiful is this man to sinners as he is. The perfect satisfaction, righteousness, holiness of Jesus Christ are applied unto us when we receive him by faith. Who has not admired this servant through the eyes of faith? Why would you spend more money on buying clothes that can be only filthy rags at best without this righteousness as garment from Jesus Christ? Lastly, this servant is not believed in spite of such a great prophecy in this chapter. But you and I must believe in him, the Savior for sinners, Jesus Christ. What does it mean to believe him? You use the eyes of faith and you see him as if he is here physically. When you have communion service in this church, you see the elements of the sacraments, the body of Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. You take them, you partake of the sacred elements as if they were Jesus Christ. In your home, in your workplace, you begin with your prayer. Why? Because you start the day with Jesus Christ. As a person, merciful Savior, whom you can never fail to mention wherever you go, whatever you may enjoy in this world, whatever you do, that's how you live out your faith. You see him with the eyes of faith. And also you hate sin. You know how much suffering Jesus had to go through because of our sins. You see the blood on the cross. There is consequence. Even now, when you sin, when I sin, and we hate sins because of that curse associated with sin. Galatians 3:10 says, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. My dear friends, I'm not asking you that you pretend to believe in Jesus. I want you to again and again hear this Good Friday gospel messages. By the time you listen to another gospel message, I want you to one step closer to this Jesus Christ. Please don't go home without spending some serious moments to consider this gospel and how you should respond to it as it is described, shown, and as you heard. tonight. True faith cometh from hearing the word of God. Nothing more I could show other than what is described here in the fifth gospel, Isaiah chapter 53. My co-travelers in this pilgrim's journey as strangers and pilgrims on earth, brothers and sisters in the Lord, let's stay in this path wherein our Lord and Savior already went, as an example also for our sakes. Let's continue to follow his steps, even when it is so much loss, so much suffering in human terms. Let us clearly know that this is the way of victory, that Jesus didn't withdraw himself from. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Amen. Let us pray.